Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
We've made it to the buy rounds, but before we start to talk about the strategy, we have to go over a big scoring round and highlight all the highs and lows that was round 11. Let's go! G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I'm joined by the ever optimistic and the fun loving, happy demeanor, Luke Rogerson, coach of the Mighty Oxlongs. How are you, mate?
Happy demeanor, not to be. Big demeanor, of course. I'm all right. My team has never been worse.
Talk to me. You brought in some big scores this week. So surely you're up and about. Mate. Big trade in on Friday night. Nick Martin, 160. Is that the biggest score of the year?
It could well be. Nick Martin came in at the Oxlongs. And Chad Warner, who's been knocking on the door for a couple of weeks, but I haven't been able to get him in. So I traded in
112 points.
Almost 290 points on the weekend. And
happy
my team
like.
Was still fucking rubbish. I went back another 1,000 spots. And I tell you what happened. It was my rookie picks again.
Yeah. This has been the undoing for both of us.
It has. In the carnage, of course, I had to, you know, do some moving and shaking. And, you know, two who have been reasonably reliable rookies for me, in Sam Lawler and Max Hall, had to come on field. And I thought, okay, these are the best of a bad bunch. They combined for 47 points.
Ooh.
Two players combined for 47 points. Two players were outscored by Finn O'Sullivan, who was sitting on my bench. Finn O'Sullivan has barely managed 30 scores this year. He outscored two of my players.
Career high he had this week.
So just in rookies, I left like 80 to 100 points on the bench with, you know, it could have been Corey Warner, it could have been Finn O'Sullivan, it could have been Caden Cleary, and instead it was Max Hall and it was Sam Lawler, and it meant my rank dived once again despite great trade-ins. How did your week go, mate?
My week went
okay. Have you caught me yet, actually?
Not yet, but I'm chipping away.
I should have known if you hadn't brought it up. I should have known you hadn't called me because I know that I'll hear all about it.
Oh yeah, once I pass you, I'm going to rub it in your face for sure. But no, I'm sitting at rank 5,211. So I think was it up another 700 spots?
You're
or
not far
so.
Off, mate.
So look, it's a snail's pace at the moment. But with the bullets that, you know, Coleman and just riddled with bullets over here. I'm fronting up every week, and we're chipping away. I had a 23-25 last week, which I thought was a really good score, but look, it wasn't that good considering the round. There was a lot of big scores around.
Big scores. You look around, I mean, you look at some of the teams that top scored this round, and we're talking like 2,500s.
Which like some big captains.
It's insane. And it's the way, I mean, it's the way the game works as well. Like you've been on the good end of it. I haven't yet been, but the rich get richer, which is, there's no doubt about it. If your team's in a good position, you've got more cash, you've got better players, and it kind of snowballs. So
it can be hard to claw your way back, but
it can be. We're gonna try.
This period coming up, the bye rounds, can be the great opportunistic time for a lot of teams out there. If you plan well and make good trades over this period, you can make up significant ground. And it's been a time where I've made some big leaps forward before. So hopefully we can do it this time again this year with a slightly different setup with 5 rounds of trades. But before we do that, let's talk about some players who were thirsty and some players who were not on the weekend.
My hump. Oh, get it. My humps. I've just seen you got your Celt shirt on. I've got my Dubs shirt on.
Yeah, we're in mourning.
We are. So it's the afternoon, actually. But
Well, yes. We are sad that our teams are out. I'm going to go, what do you call a hammer with three humps, Luke?
A hammer?
A camel.
A camel with three humps.
This is not a joke. This is a genuine question. Because I've got three people that have put their hand up for the Camel Award. A trifecta of players that scored 150 plus last week. All of them had disappointing games. Bailey Dale, Rowan Marshall, and Tristan Sherry backed up their 150 plus point performance last week with three. Look, Tristan Sherry, it's a bit harsh, but the other two definitely big horrible dud scores. 64 for Dale, 78, I want to say, for Marshall, and Sherry had like an 82.
The karma bus.
Big fall from grace.
The karma bus drove over me on this one because I'm not one to be happy at someone else's misfortune, but when Tristan Cherry didn't have a great game, of course I was a little bit happy. And then Marshall goes and says,
77,
don't worry about it. I'm going to do shit anyway.
I'll go unders.
And it's all happening at the same time as Max Gawn's just fucking...
Yeah, tell me about it. Yes, 86 for Sherry and 77 for Marshall. Oh, and Bailey Dale, my nemesis, what did he score? 64 or something on the weekend as well. So that is not how you follow up a big performance and equalize it the following week. And now Marshall's averaging 110 across those two games. So it doesn't feel as massive as it was before.
Let's see who's at the opposite end of the spectrum, living in the pineapple under the sea.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he? Who was it, Mitch, on the weekend?
I'm going to give it to a couple of Essendon Bombers players, not only because of their massive score, but the way they got to it in that final quarter, the final handful of minutes. I was livid.
You were more than livid. You were rolling around.
I was in physical pain.
You were. I remember something along the lines of, "Stop, I'm already dead."
Yeah, it was the
as
old
you were
Simpsons,
rolling around on
the
my
Simpsons quote. So yeah, the 168 for Nick Martin and the 149 for Zach Merritt. Look, both were on track for a decent score, but I'm pretty sure Nick Martin, I'm going to look it up right
69
now.
69 point last quarter.
69 point last quarter, and Merritt had something very similar. I'm looking up his fourth quarter too. 58. Yeah. So between the two of them, they've gone over 100 and what's that? 110 points more than in the final quarter, and it was just Chip City. Absolutely filthy to behold. Those players, those boys, they must have been fighting it out for the award because Nick Martin ended up getting it.
There was one point where I felt like they were giving it to each other. So, yeah, it was pretty nuts. I was imagine how I would have been had not traded in Nick Martin this week. It would have been very, very dire.
Yeah, it was absolute piggery.
Let's continue the complaining in Bogs and Flogs.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate. You're an embarrassment.
Absolute disgrace, some of these players. But
what do you want this week? You want bogs, you want flogs?
Well, I'll sit back because I know you did the list here. So you talk me through my boy Holmesy. What happened here? You've given him the bog.
Yeah, sometimes I like to help you out, mate. And I know you've been in a dark place with Holmesy.
we have a strained relationship right now, me and Max Holmes.
But the relationship on the weekend took a turn for the better.
He apologized. He tried to go about, you know, putting his foot in the right direction. Yeah. And we're healing. We're healing. I wouldn't say we're there yet, but we're in talks. And maybe this relationship might work out.
Reece Stanley is the flog. What's going on? A couple of weeks ago, Gawn has a tough matchup. Psych, it's not Oscar McInerney. Yeah, it's Darcy Fort. Tim English, we think we might get a little bit of juice. And then psych.
Yep.
Stanley's in. And English had the potential to score well in this one. But Reece Stanley, just maybe not when it's our ruckman.
Exactly. You know, like, yeah.
Just what's with the timing off there?
That's the timing is not on. And, probably robbed English a few points. And after he robbed himself of a few points with that negative 14 play
plays for Adelaide.
Go on to the next game, Essendon versus Richmond.
The bog here, I mean, we could go for the low-hanging fruit at Martin and Merritt, but we've got a rookie option.
Yeah, this is
massive. And we've got a rookie option on a line where we had cadavers. There was just nothing going on for our rookie defenders, and suddenly, just maybe, we get an option. But it's probably, you know, not great because we have to sacrifice one of our prime time defender rookies to go to this guy potentially.
I think it's time.
Zach Reed makes way, yep. And in comes Clark. He was playing forward, Angus Clark.
Yeah,
he was playing
good
forward.
Good though, really good. I mean, I know it's Richmond, so you always have to. But he has put himself.
Yeah, what's his break even? You can't ignore
-23.
Yeah, you gotta go there.
You absolutely have to go there. His price is going to fly up, and he's got the round 16 bias, so he is definitely someone to put himself on the map. I think I know why you've got Adam Uze as the flog here, because of some positional decisions.
Adam Uze, because boo Adam
Uze. That man.
What the fuck is Sam Lawler doing at full forward? And this was not like go to full forward for a little bit and then play on the ball.
No, this is just sit in the goal square.
So I said before that he scored poorly. He scored 21 points.
He touched the ball twice.
21 points, that was actually kissed. Because
two goals were his two touches.
He ticked two goals. This could have been like a sub-10 score. And yeah. I was fielding this absolute fuckery.
The number one pick, inside mid-gun.
We had this discussion. I mean, we Richmond players. I might be a little bit... I might be overdoing this a little bit. But I'm going to say Sam Lawler's in the top 10 players at Richmond in terms of capability who are currently on the ground, like on the weekend. No.
Yeah.
Don't do me like this, Adam. This
And he got so cold, so stiff, because he was just standing in the forward 50.
Yeah, I don't know if he was stiff, but he was cold.
He was cold, like the muscles I'm talking about, not you, whatever you're thinking about over there, you sicko. we've already seen a bit too much from Lawler.
Oh, it was not stiff.
But he went and did his hammy when he actually went to run a little bit. He'd been so used to sitting there in the goal square.
Yeah, correct. This is about where like I'm at. I actually had scores like Nick Munn. I had the Wang. I had Ned Long. Give me a 130. I had Jordan Dawson. How the fuck did I slide 1,000 ranks? Oh, fuck me. Anyway, okay, we're getting caught up.
Very niche market there. I'm not sure people had him on field. But yeah, it was frustrating, especially from a Richmond point of view, to waste that game for... And now he's injured. Carlton versus Giants. Another reason as to why you're kissed here in Adam Chera being the best on ground. He's been an absolutely amazing starting round pick.
I didn't even start with him, but even since I had him, he's been a great pick. So I can only imagine people who started with him. Fantastic.
Yeah, 108 points. Did really well there.
Little drive-by here on a guy that nobody owns. But TDK, come on, mate. Like, are we serious? Briggsy's pushing out 60s. Don't give me a mid-70 score. Nobody's got him, but this is a guy that you... And we could rewind the tape here. We won't embarrass you.
I never said this.
But this is a guy that you were picking to potentially be the number one scoring player.
I said he'd average 110.
And there were other things. So it hasn't worked out. Hawks and Lions.
Hawks and Lions. Zorko gets the best on ground here because he... I find him a very hard man to predict what he's going to do week to week, but he is having some more up games recently, and 127 would have been nice for the people who have traded him in or started with him at the start of the season. Chick dog?
I'm driving by because James Sicily has been horrible. James Sicily's averaging 80. He may as well go on a holiday to Sicily because he's not playing fantasy football. What the fuck is going on, James?
What did he have? He had like 53 points. That is
stench. There is some stench coming off that score.
It was all in the defense. Like, it's not like he was forward or anything like that. Just the sick dog. I'm gonna say the sick dog is gone out to the farm and he won't come back. That's it. He's done. His fantasy relevance of his career is over.
I mean, Hawthorn are good now, so they don't need him. North held on against the Pies, and then the Pies just onslaught in the fourth quarter. But the guy I mentioned before, Ned Long, fuck me dead.
132 with 14 tackles.
Beast mode.
Absolute beast mode. And did he finally get off the bench yet? He plays 79% tog. That's big for him.
We know this, but this guy can fucking tackle. It was a little bit like Sherry of last year. If you were anywhere within cooey of him, he was just absolutely wrapping you up. It was good to watch.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, that's a good best on ground for that game. Sheasel's role. Well, I just want consistency.
Fuck me.
Leave him there.
He only had two CBAs, so it's not like he went back into the midfield, but I saw him on the wing of patches. What I didn't see was just dirty halfback waxing, which is what I want to see if he's not playing in the midfield. Freo on Port Adelaide. Did you catch any of this one?
I did not, no. But
the
it was
moist.
Oh, yeah, I saw that it was very wet.
It was very... I was actually doing my write-up as the game was going, and It was looking fine about halfway through the fourth quarter, and I wrote, conditions fined up for like a decent end, and it's almost exactly as I typed it, just the heavens opened up.
Pissed down, okay.
Luke Jackson, a couple of people were looking at him as a forward replacement option this week, and if you went him, you'd be feeling good.
Took advantage of the Vicentini matchup, but we'll have a tougher this week.
People who went to Shea Bolton, but he's the flog in this game.
Well, he's a flog, but not for anyone who listened to us, and we warned you that this guy is a shiny object to a fish. And obviously that means he's going to have a bad game.
Correct.
I don't know how you could read that otherwise.
You know, truer words never told. But he not only had a bad game, he saved this score.
I did see. He was on a really sticky.
He was. I was watching this game, and he had a 34-point last quarter, including... Oh,
close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
A goal, this could have been horrific.
So he was on like 30 something at three quarter time.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. So hopefully you didn't trade him in. Adelaide versus West Coast, number two on the big boys, who are still the number one in the world at the moment. So Jordan Dawson, he comes out, does the big boys proud. Unfortunately, not what I wanted for my fantasy team, but 139, kicked 2 goals, 9 tackles, 6 marks. The man's a beast. Not more really to be said, really, for this one.
West Coast is the flog. How the fuck do you not have one player score more than 75
that
fantasy
is
points?
So
anger?
Stinky.
What
that
the
is
fucking
so
fuck
bad.
Is that? They only had like less than 300 possessions. I didn't check how many
what
fantasy
What happened to Tim Kelly?
Was.
I swear I saw him what? Up there. What? 11 points in the fourth, 11 points. So he had 22 points in the second half.
Oh my God. What the heck is that?
Yeah, that's really bad. And special shout out to Ryan Marich, who might have punched his ticket out of a lot of sides with that performance of the 51 points on the weekend.
For sure. Melbourne and Sydney, the bog is just the scoring. Did you see the scores in this game, Mitch?
No, it felt. I did see the scores. So I'm surprised. I feel a little ripped off here. Well, because I know what you're going to put in the flogs.
Well, let me just finish this part first. But I haven't crunched the numbers, but it looks like it was just scoring bonanza. You've got like 8 to 10 guys that have scored 100, some high 90 or a high 90 in there from Matt Roberts. So Max Gorn and Christian Salem, effectively 140s, is very good.
You've got 4 130s, 6 120 pluses, 9 tons in the game. Yeah, that's a lot of big scores there.
But
I feel dirty about you putting Clayton Oliver in the flog.
Well,
list.
Get your tip out, mate, because I reckon we're going to see smooches all over
it. This is great coaching. The man was down. The man was tagging for all God knows reasons. And I gave him a call after our podcast the week he did it.
Yeah, right.
And I said, Clayton, mate, what are you doing tagging? You like to get pill. You like to score fantasy points. Get back to doing that. And he responded with 130, biggest game of the season.
Was he was he tagging? He's had 14.
Nah, he's not tagging. He's not tagging. He's just playing footy now. This is exactly what he should be doing. He's just playing footy. Mano a mano, matchup footy, and getting it on the other end as well with 31 touches.
Kissed as hell, and he's back.
What happened? He had 13 touches 2 weeks ago. That wasn't Clayton. I'm looking for the imposter that was playing in his bodysuit that week, because this is the real Clayton Oliver.
I thought Champion Data had fucked this up, to be honest. I thought somebody else had accidentally put on Clayton's jersey mid-game, but you are kissed. Last game of the round, Gold Coast and St Kilda. I'm glad I didn't watch this game, because it would have driven me insane to watch all of the just disgusting picks that I have in my team.
Yeah, so you're referring to players like Roa Marshall.
Correct.
Mateus Philippou.
Yep.
Is there another one?
Mateus Philippou couldn't even manage to have a meaningful midfield role in a team that lost their best midfielder.
Yeah. It's pretty disappointing.
He had two CBAs. Now, his score is, to be honest, is probably kissed. He scored like a 71 on 23 touches or something like that. But
no, you've got players like Hunter Clark, Zach Jones.
Yep.
Marcus Windhager, Hugh Boxall, they're all getting midfield time ahead of him.
Fuck me dead. So this is clearly the worst pick that anyone's made all season. unless you accidentally traded in Corey Warner instead of Chad Warner or something like that. But it's horrific. But I can hang my hat on the Wang. Depends how big the hat is. But I can hang it there because the Wang went 130 plus.
And the old hat and the Wang trick.
the old floating, levitating hat. But Wang did well. So
he's a thirsty gangster. He was definitely in contention for the Sponge of the Week award, because no matter if the team's going well or not, he is he does that little kick out of the goal square, that kick in, and gets the handball received, the plus six on the kick in every single time.
He's good.
And anytime he runs around, auto give him the handball. He has earned that. So love watching him play. Let's talk strategy. We are at the bye rounds. They are here. We're going to talk about, I want to go through some general strategy over these next five rounds, but then we'll also hone in on to round 12, because round 12 is a bit different to the rest of the rounds. The rest of the rounds become almost pretty straightforward after this week, but this week is very, it's the hardest trading round, I think, so far of the season, and probably the most awkward round in terms of what are we actually trying to do. But if we just look at the general strategy over the buys, I've got sort of two and then a sort of a third rule to add in on top of it. The first rule is the most important rule, is that we exit the bye rounds with no rookies on the field. We exit the bye rounds with a team full of premiums, which in years gone past has been easier. This year it feels like it's going to be a bit harder. However, five rounds of buys, 15, well, really we've got 17 trades now, Luke, between now and the next time we have to field best 22.
Yeah, I think there's every chance that I feel we'll all get there unless your team's a ghost ship, but it's going to be tough to, looking at my team here.
The cash generation's going to be the thing. We're going to have to really get this cash generation going, but I think there is a few options coming up soon. The second sort of like box that I like to tick is they want every single week to be fielding more than 18 players. Preferably, I like to sit at that 20 to 21 players in each round. I don't love having like one round where I've got 24 guys playing and then another round where I've got 18. It feels like I'm just wasting points on my bench in any given round for that matter. So I like to sort of aim for that 20 to 21 players playing. So then at least you could drop off two or three scores when you potentially have an injury or something like that. That just gives you a level of safety. And then the next third rule, which is sort of something that I started to do last year, is trying to maximize the amount of games played by premiums every week. So this separates like the total amount of players to trying to maximize how many premiums I have on each week, done through some sideways trading of premiums, trading out premiums who have their buy coming up or are on their buy to premiums that have already had it. So then you kind of get this snowball effect of more premiums every single round. But that one is very much like third. I don't want to do that third one if it compromises the first one in particular, where I'm trying to trade out the rookies and exit the buy rounds with no rookies on the field. Because it can be very easy to sideways trade your way through and then be left in round 17 this year with a team that's still pretty shit.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make, because that's the temptation, isn't it? You don't forecast far enough ahead. But there will be, depending on how your team's going, you might, like Mitch said, find that ability to continue to upgrade your team while at the same time maybe making some of those strategic sideways moves to keep points on field as well. Like, I'm looking at my team here for this week, and I might go close to fielding sort of like 19 players, but names in there, Max Hall, Mateus Philippou.
This is before trades, right?
Riley Pice, but this is fucking after trades, bro.
Oh.
This is how bad it's looking. If you're in a great position, then make the most of it, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, don't feel like there's nothing you could do to even extend that lead. Yeah, you can definitely put the foot down and really try and go for as many points as you can throughout this period. I will say that there will always, usually, there'll be a buy round where you're maybe a little bit behind everyone else, but hopefully you'll have other buy rounds where you're ahead of everyone else. So it can be difficult in this period to kind of judge where you're going week to week. It's sort of try to view it as one gigantic round where everything will even out in the end. Like, you might be heavy this week on a lot of players out. Others might be heavy in round 16 or round 14 or whatever it is. It'll all sort of balance it out in the end, in my opinion. But let's talk about this round, because it is a really awkward round, because the difference between this round and then the four rounds that follow it is that every trade we make, we're going to be bringing players in that have basically, they're going to have their buy still coming up.
Yep.
So effectively making upgrades that we make this week less impactful than the upgrades we're going to make the following weeks, because the following weeks we're going to get an extra game essentially out of the players that we bring in off the round 12 bye. So is there an argument to say that this week, if you're going to have a week to cash up sideways red dots, get the rookies who are red dots or injured players or anything like that, get them off the field and bring in players who are going to generate cash, players who are at least playing, maybe store a little bit of cash along the way so that next week's upgrades are going to be bigger and better. Is that a fair way you could look at these weeks?
Yeah, I think this week in particular, there's an argument to say that. I think we've been somewhat kissed in the sense that we've got a guy like Zach Merritt who doesn't have his buy until round 16, who is essentially now at the bottom of his price. So I kind of feel like he's the exception, because you are going to obviously get a few weeks of him and you're going to get him at, I would say, probably the cheapest price this year. And then the other guy, Angus Clark, who obviously has the same buy round, he's kind of an easy rookie in option this week. Maybe if you do one of your trades is down to Clark, one of your trades is up to Merritt, and the other one is a rookie fix up pocketing some cash. So maybe you kind of compromise and get both. Do you know what I mean there?
Yeah. I think, definitely see what you're saying there, especially those round 16 guys, because you are either trading them in now or you're waiting until round 17, which is a long way away.
Yeah.
And if these guys do present value, it could be a way that you could make your team better, at least for this week. I am just grappling with the idea of like, how much is that worth if it compromises your ability to upgrade the following weeks. Because I do want to be making an upgrade every single week through rounds 13, 14, 15, and 16. And if this week's trade sort of leaves that a bit precarious, then I would rather just sacrifice some points on this week and maybe just trade in three mid-prices or rookies that are going to go up in cash over the next few rounds. Because then, there are going to be so many trades. We're going to be, cutting 17, more than half our team basically is going to leave our side. And that's going to include a lot of the players that we're trading in now are going to leave our team by the time their buy comes around. So the guys we trade in now don't necessarily have to be keepers because we're going to be churning over our team so much in the next 5 weeks.
I might be spoiling the chopping block coming up soon, but guys like Reed and Lawler, who I'm anticipating having this week, who I now don't. Everyone has Reed. I might be pretty unique with Lawler, but this is tough here because obviously they would not have been going this week if I had my way.
Yeah.
And I would be sidewaysing some of those. Finn O'Sullivan, who's on his bye, maybe a Bussinger fixing up the red dot there. I don't have. I'm guessing I have to trade these injured guys first.
Yeah, I mean they're still red dots. They're just red dots with more money on their head. Yeah. So yeah, I mean if they're out maybe 1 week, but I don't know if they are. I think hamstrings, young players.
Yeah,
it probably is a good time for them to have a few weeks off.
Especially, I mean Reed is
he's had the history.
He has. So yeah. And this is the thing. Okay, if you're in a position like myself where those guys have both kind of topped out in cash potentially as well. If I could get a double upgrade this week to, two guys that Merritt doesn't have his buy till 16, let's say I didn't own a Martin, I could get him in as well. Is there a case to be made to say hey, well, you've got to sort up these expensive cash cows, you may as well go and get the double upgrade for the next 4 weeks anyway?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more, if you were to do one upgrade this week versus one upgrade next week, doing that would be worse than doing no upgrade this week and two upgrades next week, because next week the players you're upgrading to are going to have over the next four rounds, four games.
Yeah, okay.
Versus if you trade in someone now, they're only going to have four games over five rounds, if that makes sense. So you're better off ensuring that you're going to get some better upgrades in the following weeks, because then you're going to be trading players who, essentially have the same amount of games of the next period than the guys you're trading in this week. So it can be tempting to sort of launch into this week and go, I want to get the points on field now.
Yeah.
But again, if you treat it as one big buy round, you might be better off getting the cash now and the points in rounds 13, 14, 15, 16.
Makes sense. Now, on that same point then, okay, who are we eyeing off? So you've got North Melbourne, you've got Port Adelaide, Carlton, you've got the Bulldogs.
They're all off this week, yeah.
So I'm talking about, them coming off their bye. So I'm thinking guys like Marcus Bontempelli. I'm thinking guys like if you don't have Sheasel potentially, is Zach Butters a guy?
Yeah, Butters, Walsh.
So you're saying that what we should be doing is we should be maybe pocketing some cash and then forecasting the potential to bring those guys into our team.
Yeah, 100%. 100% those guys. And then afterwards, it'd be around 13 players and then it'd be around 14. So, and you might be doing 12s for several of those weeks. There actually is quite a few around 12 targets. Maybe Horn Francis, when he's back, you might be looking at him as a forward line option, but in round 15, do you know what I mean? Once he bottoms out in price. So you don't need to just do the round 12s next week and just the round 13s after that, but planning out those players that have already had their bye, I think, is definitely the way to go. And there's no real exceptions to that rule, I don't think, either. The only exception might be rookies, because we just don't have as much choice. But for example, if I'm going to trade in a player in round 13 who averages 100, so he's going to play in round 13, 14, 15, and 16, versus if I trade in someone who I think is going to average 120, but he has around 15 bye, then he's going to play around 13, 14, and 16. So 4 times 100 is 400, 3 times 120 is 360. Even if he averages 20 more points than me, I'm going to still end up better. And
that was good, mate. Where are you hiding the calculator? That was...
Mate, just off the top of me noggin.
That was good.
So there's not many scenarios where I would make an exception for that rule. The only real exception would be the cash generation from the rookies, because we just don't have as much choice.
Yep.
Always trading in players that come off their buy. But let's talk about some players, firstly, that we might chop out this week. And where
is cut you off with the audio grab there. Yeah. I was like, come on, get to it, mate.
I didn't know. I can't hear it. So I'm just talking away here. Chopping block. You mentioned a couple of players, Zach Reed, Sam Lawler. I think are definitely choppable players because of their injuries.
Yeah.
They've gone from green dots to red dots and they have money on their head. So they, to me, are prime candidates to go, even though you would have liked to hold them through to their buys. Unfortunately, circumstances have changed. I think they have to go. What about a Luke Traynor? He played forward on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a read on Adam Ose.
No, plays for Essendon.
Yeah, nice. Not anymore.
He still does, but he doesn't play for our teams.
Oh, just miserable, mate. can't see a silver lining.
Firing from Essendon?
Yeah, you're not my fantasy side, so you gotta go.
You're dead to me.
I can't work out what Adam Ose was doing there on the weekend. Lawler, see, if I said to you, Noah Bolt is not playing because he's under curfew and house arrest or whatever, there's no scenario where you would go like, oh, okay, well, that makes it more likely that Luke Traynor plays forward.
Mm.
You wouldn't have said that, would you?
No, and he's going to come back.
Yeah, we saw Campbell Gray, I think it's Campbell Gray.
Yes.
Go down back, and I thought he looked really good. So,
yeah, and Banks is taking a more prominent role back there as well.
Yeah, you can bank on him back there. So it's just hard to see how Traynor then comes back and finds his spot in defence when you've still got to add Bolter to. I thought a backline that was pretty good against Essendon.
It was the better part of our ground, for sure.
Yeah, so I think that you might be right in having him on the chopping block.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things where it might come down to your team because, okay, yeah, you want as many green dots as possible, but if we project Luke Traynor in that role, like he scored 21 on the weekend. That is abysmal.
That's Lawler levels.
That's not gonna come anywhere near your best 18.
Doesn't matter. It's been dropped off.
It's been dropped off, and his break even's 85. So $570,000 next to his name, you might just be better off. Instead of trying to get as many green dots as possible, you might be better off, instead of trading a red dot who's worth $300,000, trading a green dot in Luke Traynor who's worth nearly $600,000 and getting a better trade on the other end. So this is where that increasing the amount of premiums on your field is probably the better way to go, and getting him to someone who's making cash instead of him losing cash. So I think he is definitely someone, despite not being on the buy, you could definitely look to trade. Some other buy round players, some mid prices that I think is definitely time to go. Tom Powell.
Powell.
His time's up if you haven't traded him already. I think
what do you consider? So he scored a 106 on the weekend. Any regular round that almost buys you a week, but this is, and Caleb Daniels to me in a similar boat. Like he started really well on the weekend, ended up with a 94. We can't be fooled with these guys, can we?
I'm not sure you can be fooled. I mean, it definitely depends on the position they're in and who you're trading to. But Powell in the midfield is clogging up a spot in my opinion. Yeah. 850K. It's good amount of money. It's not too much more to get him to someone like a Noah Anderson or someone like an Isaac Heaney who's been playing really well. These guys are just a little bit of a stretch out. I think I'd feel much rather having those players in my side than a pal who can drop a 57 or a 70 at any given week.
How much cash would you pocket? Because these first guys that we've talked about, Reed, Traynor, Lawler, Powell, if these guys are high on the chopping block and we're talking about potentially not upgrading this week, how much money are you willing to pocket?
I mean, you could pocket a fair bit. Like I said, if it's the difference when you're getting two upgrades next week or like one and one, like I'd favor the two upgrades next week because it just gives you more points in the end. And in the meantime, you can target the guys that are maybe low in break evens and generate cash to make the trades in a few weeks' time easier to do. So I'm comfortable this week cashing myself up because the more important trades I think are going to be the ones after this week, potentially. You mentioned Caleb Daniel before.
Yeah.
Is he, like, how much of a priority is he as a trade out? I'm looking at my team and I think there's a likely chance that I'm not going to trade him out this week. Two reasons. One, his role was better on the weekend. He scored the 94, and it's very much, in my opinion, tied to Sheezel and what he's doing.
But you've got both of them in your team. You can't be expecting, hoping, predicting.
No, I know. But I'm not trading out Sheezel. And he also plays West Coast Frio in his next two games, which are friendly teams for Marks.
The ball's not going to be fucking down there against West Coast.
North Melbourne, it might be. So he, at least at this stage, is a healthy body. Now, I could just be jinxing myself and maybe he's dropped soon, but I don't know. My team looks like, especially now that I've traded out a Tom De Koning, a lot of teams won't have a Jason Horne-Francis. We've probably got less worries about the round 12 buy now than maybe we did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you're just trading a buy round here. I don't know. Is he someone at 780K? He's already lost a fair bit of money.
And will continue to, I would imagine.
Well, his break even's 82. He just scored a 94. Maybe just hovers around that price for a little while.
Yeah.
To me, he could be someone that maybe in round 17, I'm trading him out as a bit of a luxury move. And so, he can just sit at F6 for me right now.
Okay, I don't mind the logic. So let me go to, okay, well, what are you doing elsewhere? So instead of Caleb Daniel might have been like an upgrade to a premium, but in this case, you're thinking maybe you go and get a red dot rookie and turn them into either a green dot rookie, or how do we... I know we're going to talk about this in trade-ins, but how do we feel about some of those guys that are kind of in that, you know, Sam Banks is in a friendly role, Angus Shelvey has looked all right in the last little bit.
I mean, that's another option you could do. I mean, the thing that probably saves Caleb Daniel in my sort of side is that he's going to be a best 18 player through these rounds. Like, he's going to outscore the rookies that are coming onto my field.
You would hope, yeah.
Yeah, I would hope. But so by trading him out, I'm upgrading him, but I'm spending money to do so. So it's like, okay, how much of an upgrade is that actually worth the dollars I'm spending to make that upgrade possible?
Especially when you're upgrading to a person that's going to have their buy.
Exactly. So I'm not really... Like, if his buy was next week and I could turn him into someone coming off their buy, I'd feel much better about it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm getting the upgrade on points that week, and then for the rest of the buys, I'm getting an extra gain. Whereas for him on the first buy, he just seems like a guy that could just sit there, just... not move in price, just do average scores and then just be that green dot that might help me through the buy rounds. Yeah. Whilst I maybe trade out guys who are going down in cash, players who are completely red dots, and prioritizing that over Caleb Daniel as a type of player. I think there will be teams out there where he is, it's fine to trade him out. Like, you might be in a better position than my team and he might be the biggest issue and you can trade him out and not feel bad about it. But I don't want him to feel like an automatic, we've got to trade this guy out, because I don't know that's the case for every team.
You've got here at the end of the list, Adam Chera. This is blasphemy, surely.
So he would have been a guy that at the start of the season, we would have picked this round to be, okay, you've done your job. We got him to here. Let's trade him out.
Your team would have to be fucking electric, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it would. So I just wanted to put him on there to say, He's like the mid... I don't want to say he's the midfield version of Caleb Daniel because he's better than Caleb Daniel. But the bar is higher in the midfield. But he is definitely someone I think I would hold. Even though maybe you were considering trading him out before.
Not the way my team looks. Now, we've talked chopping, but we got to have people to trade these players too. We also need a sound grab for trade targets.
Yeah, it's a bit boring, isn't it?
Everything else gets a sound grab and it's just a bit of a fizzle when we get to trade targets.
Yeah, womp womp.
So if you've got any ideas on a good trade targets sound grab, let us know.
So again, we're trading in players that all are going to have their buy coming up. I think the number one trade target, bar none, is Angus Clark. He has to be traded in, I think. Negative 23 break even, round 16 buy. Perfect. We like that. So
bit
I think
of a defender rookie curse getting around, but
defender rookie curse.
Reed, Hayes, Baslinger.
I don't care. Get him in my side. He's probably going to do his ACL next week. Sorry, it's the great man. Or his Achilles or something. But no. Hopefully he breaks the mold and Bus and Hayes and they can just occupy that curse for now. So he's going to be the number one guy coming in. There's a few premiums you could look to target. I want to get your thoughts on... We talked about Merritt last week. He's the same price.
Yeah.
He's obviously now had his big 150, but he's still cheap. He's still the same price.
He's cheap. 1K last week. Left.
1K less,
ha
yeah.
Ha, I got him 1K cheaper.
Yeah, I saved $1,000. Woohoo!
Stuff you with your 150 points.
So if you absolutely... If you changed your mind now on Zach Merritt and saw that 150 and went, fuck, I want a bit of that on my team, well, then you've got to get him now. Otherwise, he waits around 17. Yeah.
And you're guaranteed to not get a 150
this week. You're not getting a 150 this week. But he's still Zach Merritt like what he was last week. I want to ask you about his teammate.
Yeah.
Jai Caldwell.
Very well.
Jai called great. He was great on the weekend. 120 he scored.
Yeah.
Now, he is coming off... Was it a hamstring that he had? I think it was a hamstring injury where he suffered that on his bye, funnily enough. So, at the start of the year, he went 146, 97, 100. Then he's come back and he's played low time on ground, 68 and 65%, 72 and 57. That was also the round that Merritt got absolutely... He had a terrible score where they just got absolutely pummeled.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's gone 74% time on ground against Richmond. I know it's Richmond and everyone scored very well, 120. But to me, it's the time on ground that signifies that this is the guy that at the start of the year, like we sort of identified him as a potentially undervalued player. He had a bit of interrupted preseason. He came out and showed that he could do that. He's at 944,000 now. So he's gone down from his starting price, 25,000. Is he an alternative to a Zach Merritt that you could potentially bring in at the same buy round?
Yeah, he's not significantly cheaper than Zach Merritt. I mean, Zach Merritt's got the reputation, but don't sleep on the teams that he started with this year. So he started with Hawthorn, Adelaide, Port Adelaide, and went 146, 97, 100. Mm. So two of the toughest matchups for midfielders.
He won't get tagged ever, will he?
Yeah, and we know that guy is a tackling machine as well. So, yeah, I feel like he's a guy that we have seen previously nudge that kind of top eight mids for stretches, like for patches in a season. I don't know. Maybe I'm a sucker for the name.
He went, I think, in games where he played like 50% CBAs last year when he was forward eligible. Like he went basically... in that role at 108 average during that time. So when he has the role, he is a really, really good scorer. And I've sort of just been watching him waiting to sort of feel confident that he is over that injury. And I think last week, score aside, the time on ground that he played was a good indication to me. He also took a jump up in CBAs. So he went 57%, 50%, and this past weekend went 73%. So massive spike up. Will Setterfield was the one that sort of came back down a little bit. And Sam Duren went down a little bit to make way for Caldwell. I sort of see him as the number two mid for Essendon. Some potentially even the number one mid if Merritt plays a bit more forward like he was at times.
I agree with this. Normally, this is one where I'd be endorsing have another week and have a look because he goes the Lions, but then he goes Carlton, Geelong, Fremantle. But the problem is that it's the bye structure. Yeah. This feels like the last week, or let's say it is the last week you're getting these guys before you have to wait until after their bye.
Yeah, 100%. I think Carlton, Geelong, Freo are all good matchups for him because Geelong's not going to tag him. Freo's not going to tag him. Carlton's a highly contested team. They play a high stoppage game. So I think those are good matchups. The Lions one maybe is a little bit tough, but then again, he scored 146 against Hawthorn and tunned up against Port Adelaide. So he can do it tough.
Yeah, if you're looking for something to differentiate, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
Some trade targets that I had last week and continue on to this week. Noah Anderson and Tom Green. Tom Green still just put up a ho-hum 85, I think. But he has the favourable matchup in Richmond this week. And again, a couple of these guys are all around 16 buys by players. So get him now. He's just over $1 million. So basically...
Anderson's 14, isn't he?
Anderson's around 14. Yep. So he had the 118 points as well. I traded him in last week and was happy with that performance. Although, he was on 118 with 5 minutes to go. And your dad sent me a text saying...
Oh, dirty.
Anderson, tick. And I just went... Too early, mate. He's on 118. Didn't score from that text onwards. Not a single point.
He knows full well what he's doing.
Oh, I know.
Disguised that as...
Can't let me be happy.
No, he's disguised that as encouragement.
He wants to be the one that's crushing it this year.
And the problem is he fucking is crushing it too. I haven't checked his rank. I'm going to go check it quickly.
51.
No, he's not.
He's top 100.
Oh, I'm sick.
You know where he is in the Ball Boys Championship?
Uno?
Number two.
Fucking he's the second. Fuck.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, I mean, there's probably
We're not giving that man the top one, the top prize.
No.
Nah, hell
like
no.
I said, he ain't getting half his money back either. And there's no room for a third chair in here. It's too tight.
Yeah, so anyway, we diverge. But yeah, so just a little disappointed in that premature text message there, Steve.
What did he score on the weekend?
118. Oh, your dad?
Yeah.
Oh, 2,400 or something like that. I don't know.
Fuck,
something big.
Fuck.
Anyway, let's look at some more spice names. Oh, before we do, I'm officially ready to say... And as soon as I say this, he'll put up another sneaker. But Max Holmes is back on the menu. He's back on the menu.
You've got him next to Tom Green here. These are hopeful.
You can trade him in. Last time I said you could trade him in, I'm pretty sure he scored like a 68 against Melbourne. He looked good on the weekend. He's got West Coast, Gold Coast, Essendon, Brisbane. Those are not teams that tag. West Coast, Gold Coast especially. Yep. Essendon, they don't tag. They're giving up lots of points. Surely now, Luke, you could trust Max Holmes. Break even of 78, price at 916 against the West Coast Eagles. This is the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, based on what we said before about the buy rounds and whatnot, we're kind of endorsing one at most.
And then after his buy, he's got Richmond.
It's good. There's no disputing it. But we're kind of endorsing it's one upgrade this week. You're not wasting two upgrades this week. So of all these guys that we're talking about that are premiums that would be upgrades.
I mean, if you're looking for a defender.
You need to work out.
I think he's probably the number one defender option.
Okay.
I would say. The others, we're all sort of midfielders. Is sort of the main options there.
Let's go shopping in a slightly different price bracket. Mm. This is not one that you typically like to shop in, but it has probably been your undoing this year at least. It's just those mid-price guys, those guys that we kind of... I don't know whether we just don't believe in them for whatever reason, and then often we get burnt. The trouble with this is, and I've said this before, we've been burnt by guys like Bonners, guys like Marich, guys these kind of mid-price guys. But then you could also go back and have a look at guys that we've said, no, don't go there, and they have actually flopped as well. So is our approach of not going to any of them wrong, or would you entertain it this week?
Well, this is the time of year where I do like to do some spicy little things because you've got an extra trade. There's a little bit of a get-out clause. You've got the best 18 you can hide behind if they really suck. So this is like a period where I will endorse those sort of trades, especially this week when the trades feel a little bit awkward because of those two reasons. Extra trade, you can move them out if something happens, injuries, and it doesn't affect your trade cadence as much. And the best 18 provides a bit of a safety network that you can sort of hide behind. So I'll throw a few names your way, Luke, all at once.
Yes.
A couple of Richmond boys, Sam Banks, Kane McAuliffe, the guy who I was going to trade in last week but then chickened out, Angus Sheldrick, and then Coleman also went out. Sam Berry had a massive score on the weekend. And Xavier O'Halloran also had a decent score and has had a bit of a role change with a few of the injuries over at GWS, with a few of their midfields gone. He played some more CBAs and has done the last couple of weeks. So all of those players, I think Sam Banks is the most expensive at about 700K.
Yeah, he's considerably more expensive than the rest. And the other thing with him is he goes GWS into Sydney. So
he has had a role change, though. He's playing definitely off that half-back line and probably looks like one of our better players right now.
I agree. The problem is the price there. Like, what's that priced at figure if he's at 710?
It'd be about 75 or so.
See, that to me is roughly is trouble because even though we went triple figures on the weekend, the couple of weekends before, you know, it wasn't quite there. So what are you looking at? Sort of five to ten points.
In his last three, he's averaged 97 points. That has coincided exactly with Jaden Short going out of the side.
Plays GWS and Sydney over the next 2 weeks. So if he's averaging 97,
the matchups have been West Coast, North, and Essendon.
So those two matchups, you expect him to go between 5 and 10 points below his average.
So he's probably like what, 85?
Yeah, and I just don't like that to me.
10 points of upside over 2 weeks.
Well, that to me feels expensive when you can pay, you know, almost or more than 200K less, and you can get Sheldrick, who has Richmond in 2 weeks before his buy. So,
yeah, look, I agree. I think he's definitely a name that if you knew that he was going to take Short's role, getting him in a week or two ago would have been a really nice play.
Yeah.
But I agree that there's probably better options now that are cheaper. I also like the round 14 buy. Like, ideally, these guys would be trading at like around 15 or 16.
Yeah.
You get 3 weeks uninterrupted cash generation, scoring, then you flip them out on the final or second to last buy round. So if we put a line through his name, talk to you about Kane McAuliffe, Angus Sheldrick, Sam Berry, Xavier O'Halloran. Is there one that you like more than others? I actually quite like the Xavier O'Halloran play fair bit. Because he plays Richmond this week. That's always a great start.
He looks fucking scary in his photo, too.
It looks like a scary man. And the role is, to me, a bit of a clear change, right? So Last 2 weeks, he's gone 59-44% CBAs. The weeks before that were 15-12-0-27-14-0-0-0. So, to me, that's a clear role shift, and GWS's midfield is decimated right now. Callahan's out for a while still.
You said those high CBAs have been the last two games, yeah? So,
well, 59, so 60%, and yeah, then the week before was 44, so a little bit less.
He only obviously scored 51 against Freo in that one before.
Yeah, that was with Finn Callahan there.
Yeah.
Finn Callahan goes out this past week.
There's a definite...
There's something you can link there. I think Josh Kelly is... I'll have to look at his timeline, but he's a forward-eligible player less than 500K versus Richmond this week.
Who was that? O'Halloran.
O'Halloran.
Yeah. He is versus Richmond. He versus Port Adelaide the following week, so whether that kind of levels
break
out.
Break-even of 8.
Yeah, the break-even is very tempting as well. So let me put it to you this way. Richmond, I love. Tick, tick, tick. But then Port Adelaide, Brisbane, Suns before his bye. If you get him in this week, are you committing? You're committing to him to get you through?
This is where I don't think you have to commit. Like, okay, it could be a 1 or 2 week play. And this is where I think we should be getting a bit creative, because the extra trade just opens up so many doors for that to be possible.
Yeah.
So I think if he comes out and has a dud against Richmond, then okay, you go, well, this isn't going to work. I trade out of him the following week. And yeah, it sucks, but it doesn't suck as much in a normal round. Because at least you can fall back. He's going to make some cash this week. Look, I would say this week at least, he's going to score 60. Perhaps you can make 50K in 1 week. You jump off. You get a score that may or may not count to your best 18. If it doesn't, it's only 480K you've spent. It's a play, I think.
Do you like it over the McAuliffe play?
Well, what do we think about McAuliffe and his role security? I won't say his job security, but his role security.
Yeah, I'm just having a look here. So, I mean, last 3 weeks, he's sort of hit the 50% average, kind of 50% CBAs, I'd say, maybe a little more over the last 3 weeks. And that's since just coming into the side. So he's just gone, bang, I'm in here, and I'm in here 50%.
The run that we talked about with Banks.
Yes, and that's kind of troubles me. It's like, okay, we're coming off three good games. He's got his legs under him. He's had two good scores in a row. If you're bringing someone like this in, you're wanting them to score what they've scored over the last 2 weeks, which for him is around that kind of 85.
Yeah.
But...
So he comes now, in, he puts up another 80, he goes up another 70K.
Yeah, and you're looking good. The only trouble is they're just the coming into two tougher matchups.
Yeah.
Compared to what he's been seeing.
I do think that like the ceiling of like if everything went right,
yeah,
Xavier O'Halloran is like higher ceiling play simply by the nature that he has better matchups, Richmond to start. He also has two more extra games until his bye. So you get four games, am I right in saying that? Four games until his bye versus two games until McAuliffe's bye. So if everything goes right, he's the higher upside play.
Yeah.
The bigger swing.
I can't even listen to you right now, Mitch. Dad just texted me. He's a top-ranked Tigers supporter. This guy.
Wait, there's no Tigers in the top 50? Come on, Tigers fans. Surely there's one Tiger up above him. Got to do better than that.
Hey, I mean, good for business if the old man's doing well.
Yeah.
We must be doing something right here.
Yeah, he says he listens to us.
He does say that. I mean, he might just be saying that.
What about Sam Berry? Now, he has played 5 games this year. This was the first game that he's played over 30% time on ground.
You reckon he could be ripe for the picking?
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. he goes 123. It's against West Coast. He played 71% time on ground. The first time where he basically wasn't the sub.
CBAs?
CBAs, I assume so, but let me double check that.
Let me check. I'll check.
43%.
Okay.
Look, it could be a thing. I have less confidence in this sticking just because Adelaide are such a good team.
Yep.
How far away is Crouchy as well? I'm thinking he's going to be back relatively soon.
Yeah, Rankin had less CBAs than Berry. Rankin had less CBAs than Draper, and Draper was the starting sub.
He must have just rested forward, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I think this is at, is I think that when it actually matters, I think you'll see that Isaac Rankin...
They went absolutely nuts in the second half. I want to actually see his scoring breakdown and see if it jumped up in that second half, because that's when Adelaide went crazy. I mean, he's the third highest scorer. He's pretty consistent the whole game. big second quarter. So he was in it when the contest was actually legit. Maybe he's bought himself some week. He's got the round 15 bye.
Shit run.
When did Adelaide play? Did they play early in the round?
They play Saturday night.
Saturday night. So maybe you would definitely want to make sure he's not the sub because he's been the sub four times this year. So probably less likely I would go there.
They're playing Sydney. Sydney haven't been red hot, but I think it's going to be a game that's going to test them a little more than what they just played. So I think you might see a different CBA mix this week for them.
Angus Sheldrick. This guy
is a
points per minute beast.
Yep.
498K. He goes into Adelaide and then Richmond. So he has the Richmond matchup just in 2 weeks' time. Yep. Is he someone that we can consider around 14 by as well? Break even of 11. He's doing it still in just 60%, 70% TOG.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Mills was back in, didn't affect him.
Did have a big last quarter, but you got to score him at some point. I feel like this one, for me, I kind of just like this one a little bit better, but then I think that the logic behind the O'Halloran one and the fact that Callahan's obviously out, I think you're right in saying that's the higher ceiling option.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to know about is, and I think you mentioned it there when I wasn't listening to you, was Mills back in and how that progresses over the coming weeks.
So Mills came in, he played 14% CBAs. There was a drop from Angus Sheldrick from a 52% CBAs the week before to 37, which nearly lines up with that 14%. I think it almost exactly lines up with that 14%. So maybe as that grows,
we expect that. Do we expect that to grow? We expect Mills to play more and more midfield time.
I mean, Sydney suck, man.
And the other thing too is, I'm kind of the opinion if they didn't intend to play him in the midfield, why bother giving him any CBAs?
Yeah.
Now, do you know what I mean? So like,
they got smashed on the weekend.
If they intend
to
play him only at halfback, then what's the point in bringing him back in for his first week and giving him anything?
Yeah. No, I agree. So I think, so he had one in the first quarter, two in the second quarter, two in the third. So he was just like bit of splattered CBAs throughout the game. None in the last. He played 51% TOG. So his time on ground was also very low. So Mills, that is, I'm talking about, he played 64% TOG. So
that's
going
to go
perhaps up. Even like that going up might also affect Sheldrick. Like Sheldrick might play less time on ground with Mills being on the ground more because he's, I mean, 70% for him is high. Like he's normally like a 60 sort of guy. So would you rather him or someone like McAuliffe? I think I'd almost rather McAuliffe. Are they similar price?
I think they are pretty similar.
Yeah, McAuliffe's maybe 30K more expensive. But
yeah, and based on what we've kind of seen, McAuliffe coming straight in, hitting that 50% CBA mark straight away, he has to be less of a sub-risk at Richmond than what Sheldrick is at Sydney.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way too?
I think he's been good too.
Especially because Sheldrick in the position that he plays is a few down in the pecking order. Warner, Heaney, Rowbottom, Mills potentially now as well.
I will say, we think of Giants as a tough matchup, but like their midfield's decimated too.
It is.
And they're not going to fucking tag him with Bedford. Like that's not going to happen. So
no. Yeah, it could be a point to be made. This chat is going on a little bit long as well with trade targets, but do you see these guys in this bracket that we've been talking about, do you see them as being red dot rookie to them? Do you see them as being like Caleb Daniel down to them? Like
The type of trades I'm potentially looking at, I haven't done all the numbers or anything like that to see if it'll work, but, you know, maybe it's someone like, you know, I fix up a red dot rookie to Clark, and then I maybe do a read to one of these other players and then perhaps another red, because that makes me cash, and then I can do another red dot rookie. So I remove three red dots, essentially.
Yep.
One of them being Reed, who's got a lot of money on his head. Down to one of these slightly cheaper players, but still going up. And then it gives me enough money to do two kind of upgrades, one sideways price-wise with Clark being still 291.
So early days, you don't see yourself upgrading to a premium target this week?
Well, I've considered it. That was my first thought, but again, doing some research for this podcast and looking at some of the break-evens and some of these plays and just my own situation with all the red dots and cash generation, knowing that I want to finish my side and these buys, and I just don't have the cash generation at the moment that I think I'm going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
That this is the round, if I'm going to do something about it, I would.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's good. So, I mean, it's always the old cop out, but team dependent. So, if you're in a position where you like you, and this is the position that my dad's been bragging to me about, is that he's just been generating cash like it ain't anyone's business, and so he's just going to be able to play
that advantage and get the points on. Now it's still an upgrade. Like maybe it's not as good as an upgrade the following week, but it's still good. Like you can get more points on field. And
but for duds like us, where we've identified that cash generation is going to be an issue, kind of forecast that, and I like your thinking saying that this is the round to fix it up. The other thing too is like if you're, you know, coming from behind like us,
I saw the way your mind was working there.
Yeah.
was that your joke or was you just distracted?
Nah, it was unintended.
It always is.
If you are not in the best position and trying to move up the ranks, doing the same thing that you expect everyone in the top 1,000 or top 100 to be doing is not likely to
help you catch those teams. Close the gap. Yeah, so you got to do things a little differently.
Yeah, so I like the logic.
And this is and it didn't work for me then, but this is the round where I did that Errol Goulden trade. Like
it looked red hot in the first week.
I remember I got like it was Darcy Cameron at the time, and then someone else coming off their bye afterwards.
Butters? Was it
Butters? No, I think last year was the Butters play.
Oh, was it? Okay.
But yeah, like this was when I traded Errol Goulden at the peak of his powers. He was averaging 115, Price 115.
Yeah. He remained that way.
Yeah, he kept going that way. But like it was, I think this is the round where you can start to look a little bit creatively because you've got trades. I traded in Jordan Ngoe, I think. And he got suspended first week. Yeah.
Oh, that was
and I ended
time.
Up having to trade him out the next week. But it didn't actually hurt me all that much. Like it could have been amazing had he done it. But even with him going poorly,
Was that last year, the hat year, or was that?
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. The year I didn't quite get the hat. But like even with that going horribly wrong with that particular player traded in, I think I remember, like it could have been Lachie Neale or something like that at the trade. And if I just picked a slightly different player, it would have been amazing. But even with it going wrong with the extra trade, it didn't hurt my trade gains. I just traded him out the next week and kept kind of going along. So you are sort of protected with those ballsier kind of moves.
Beautiful. I reckon time to wrap this one up.
Yeah, I reckon wrap that one up there, mate. Make sure you guys get over to our Patreon if you want all of your questions answered and an extra podcast to fill up your week on the Wednesday evening.
We've also got the latest edition of The Blueprint.
The Blueprint is coming out very soon. I've put a bit of work into it today. A little bit we summarized today, but if you want to go in more in depth and you know have all those checklists, make sure you're doing everything right to have the best possible buy around period you possibly can. That will be coming out exclusive to Patreon members as well. Make sure you like and subscribe. Hit that big old thumbs up video. And we'll be live again on Friday to preview the first of the 5 buy rounds this week. Until then, guys, catch us later. Bye.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.